Romans chapter 11, verse 23. Romans chapter 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And so all Israel shall be saved. We know that Israel was cut off from the service of God. And that's what we're considering. Who is the servant of God? Can Jews be saved today? Surely. Just like Gentiles could be saved when the service of God was given to Israel as a nation. We're talking about servanthood. We're talking about service. And the Jews were the nation whom God chose to be his servant people. They, because of their unbelief, were cut off, and the Gentiles, because of their belief, were grafted in, and so the Gentiles become the service organization of God. They're the ones who, in church capacity, preach and teach the things concerning the kingdom of God, and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They teach the all things that Jesus taught. But will Israel again be a servant nation? Will Israel once again become people that God uses as a nation? And the Bible tells us that they will, that God is able to bring them into this relationship again. The question is stated, because of unbelief they were broken off, and therefore when they believe, they will be grafted in again. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, that is, if they don't continue in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. For God is able, and that word means he is strong. He has the power. God has the power to do it. What's it hinge upon? It hinges upon their becoming believers. Believers in who? Believers in Christ. Will Israel, as a nation, someday turn to Christ and believe in him as Messiah? Yes, they will. What will happen? God then will save Israel. And Israel as a nation will be again a servant people who will serve God, evidently in the millennial reign, as a people. God can do for the Jew what he's done for the Gentile. And that's just an opposite statement of what we would have said many centuries ago, when we would have said that God can do for the Gentile what he has done for the Jew. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, and let me again point out, this wild olive tree is simply a tree that grew out in the field, and it did not produce fruit, although it had all the characteristics of an olive tree. It had the leaves. It had the bark, it had the shape, it had the same system of of nourishment, that is the sap, was the same except for one thing. It did not produce fruit because it was a wild olive tree. Now, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild, the one that goes out in the field, that's the Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature, that is, it was not the natural way to do things, into a good olive tree, and the idea is, and then begin to bear fruit, how much more shall these which be the natural branches, that is, they're not a wild olive tree out in the woods, but they're the branches that literally by nature belong on this tree, how much easier really is the idea, shall they be grafted into their own place or into their own olive tree? Think of the root system that we talked about last week. That is the truth of God revealed to the Jews. And this root system is what bears true religion today. The root system of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, and all the prophets and the Psalms, that's the root system that bore the New Testament. The New Testament is not different from the Old Testament. It is a logical, legitimate outgrowth of the Old Testament. So, the Jew will be grafted in. He is a natural product of the root system, and it'll be easy for God to graft them in again. Now, what has happened to Israel? That's a legitimate question. Where are they right now? What has happened to the nation of Israel? Paul writes in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery." The word ignorant means not to know or not to perceive. The mystery is transliteration of a word that simply means a truth that is known to the initiated. And here it means a truth of God that men know only because God has revealed it to them. When the Bible uses the word mystery, it means something we would never have figured out unless God intervened and gave us, by revelation, the mystery. Paul said, "I don't want you to be without knowledge concerning a particular truth. I want you to understand this truth that God has revealed to us." Now, what is this truth that God has revealed unto us? Lest, he said, "I'm doing this because I don't want you to be wise in your own conceit." The word wise, understanding, conceit, means with yourselves. And here's the idea. So that you won't feel proud and start to brag. You remember he's constantly encouraged these people to consider their position and not boast about it, not be puffed up about it. Now, here's the truth. Where is Israel right now? That blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, blindness is perhaps a very poor translation. It is a word that means the process by which the extremities of fractured bones are reunited by a callus. For instance, if you broke a bone and when it starts growing back together, if there's a gap there, then callus or bone growth fills in that gap, and it's very hard and unyielding, that callus that knits the bones back together. And this is something that people had seen and understood. Now, this is the word that's translated blindness, and most of the center references are other commentaries will notify you that this word should properly be translated hardness. So we can think of the word callousness, you know, say this person is just a very callous person. And we mean by that they're not sensitive at all to anything. It's like the callus of the hand that's hard and rough and unyielding. Now, Paul said that blindness or hardness is in part happened to Israel. This phrase in part means to some degree, not completely, not totally, not without any feeling, but hardness to some degree has happened to Israel. You remember what happened to Pharaoh when he refused to accept God's information and turned in unbelief away from God? Then his heart was said to be hardened, and he carried out then the plan of God in that he refused to let the children of Israel go and refused until the 10 plagues had been completed. And God kept hardening his heart because God had a program, and that program was for these 10 plagues to fall. And God wasn't going to stop with 5 plagues or 8 plagues. So when Pharaoh seemed a little faint and perhaps ready to give in, God would harden his heart or strengthen his heart, and he would continue in his refusal to let the children of Israel go. And Paul said, hardness in part has happened to Israel. And then he gives us the time frame for this. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That which completes anything, the contents of anything. What's Paul saying? The Jews are going to remain in unbelief, partial unbelief, until God has completed the use of the Gentiles, until their work is completed. We say the end of the church age, and that's probably a good statement. The Jews will remain hardened or blind to the purpose and work of God until the Gentile age has been completed. And then what will happen? And so all Israel shall be saved. They will be delivered. Now notice, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Now this word is very, very interesting. That's translated deliverer. It means to draw or snatch from oneself as from danger. So it has any of the idea not of someone who comes and spends a lot of time trying to convince Israel of their sins and unbelief, but it has in it the idea of their turning in belief and then this deliverer simply snatching them out of harm's way. And I think that's an excellent picture of what's going to happen. The Jews initially, as a nation, will welcome the overtures of Antichrist, because Antichrist will have a solution to the Middle East problem, a solution to the Palestinian problem, to the Egyptian problem, to all the problems of the Middle East. And so Israel will welcome him, but then his true colors will be seen, and they will turn as a nation to embrace and believe in Christ. And when they turn and believe in Christ, Jesus Christ, then he'll be their deliverer, and he'll snatch them out of danger, just like Christians are translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So the Jews also, by Christ's power, will be snatched out of danger. Now notice what this predicated it on. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Turn away means to turn away from. He shall turn away all ungodliness from Jacob. He will protect Israel from the Antichrist. Why is this? Because it's part of God's covenant that he made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. And this word means a disposition, especially property, the covenant of God with the nation of Israel. This is my agreement with them. when what? I shall take away their sins. When I have taken away their sins. When Israel turns in unbelief. And that's what it all hinges upon. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. That doesn't mean that the Gentiles will be broken off. But it means that Israel now will be grafted in as a nation with the Gentiles. And so now Gentile, Israel as a nation, all graft together in the same olive tree with the same root system will now be producing fruit for God. And this is obviously the millennial kingdom. It's a mystery. We wouldn't have thought it could have worked. We wouldn't have known how it could have worked. We wouldn't have considered it as part of our future had not God revealed it to us. Now this is the end, pretty well, of Paul's explanation of Israel as a nation and the Gentiles as a group being brought together in the same body to work for God. Gentiles graft in, the Jews suffering from the hardness of their heart, from the blindness of their eyes, from their unbelief, but they will turn in belief. They will be grafted in, and so all Israel as a nation shall be saved. And then Paul explains why, and that's the lesson we'll be looking at next Sunday. And the lesson is this: the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, God called Israel, and God never changed his mind. They simply were set aside for a season. If God calls you, that calling has never been set aside. And God calls us, but our calling is never, never set aside. God never changes his mind and says, I shouldn't have called that person. A person may not be saved, a person may not be baptized, a person may not be faithful, but that does not change the calling, nor does it disannul the gifts of God. The gifts we possess are ours until death. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. We'll look at that concept next Sunday morning. Let's stand together and sing this hymn of invitation. And as we sing this evening, if you're here and you've never believed in Christ, perhaps you have believed and you need to come follow him in scriptural baptism or to move your letter, this is the opportunity that we give, the church gives, by God's mercy and by God's authority to you to come and do his will.